The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danka. What do running a small business and running a marathon have in common? Well, actually, you do a lot of running around if you're running a small business. Well, there's a lot more in common than you think. Lots of lessons that we can take away from the sports into the corporate world. And to help me out this morning, I've got two guests. First one, James Walton, Southeast Asia Sports Business Group Leader at Deloitte. James, good morning.
Good morning.
And Muni Anandji, Head of Global Subsidiaries Group Asia Pacific Banking at Citi. Good morning, Munir.
Hey, morning.
All right, gentlemen, let's start off by getting some street cred. How many marathons have each of you run, James?
I've done around 30 marathons in total, but my main thing is I've done 23 consecutive London marathons now since 1997.
So. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Plus, you run around the world for your beloved Tottenham Hotspur.
That one as well.
We have to point that out. Munir, what about you?
Myself is a bit different. I'm not a marathon runner, actually. I'm more of an ultra marathon runner. So I love trail running.
Whoa.
I've been trail running for some time and obviously wanted to go a bit more adventurous and did a 250K a few months back.
I've only done one marathon in my life. Okay, so that's where we stand. But you're not just running for fun. I mean, you're going the extra mile. You're raising money for charity through your marathons. Could you tell us how this works? What charities are these? Perhaps let's start with you, Munir.
Sure. So I grew up in Kenya, where home is. Went to school there. I was lucky to...
Well, you're a natural runner. Because
I wasn't. It's funny. When I was in school, I was probably never picked for any of that. So it was, I used to see all these boys running and, you know, dashing off. And I used to think, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Kenya, you know, humble dwellings and all. And I got a scholarship to study overseas. And that was a big break for me. And
okay.
I think from there, I just sort of traveled around the world. I lived in 13 countries. And I've always wanted to give back. So I wanted to kind of go back and give back to Kenya in a charity way. So I picked a charity that I sort of identified, one that was giving back to education, which I firmly believe in. I think education is the bedrock of, you know,
of course,
countries and people actually evolving. So I picked a charity and they were giving monies directly to kids who were like 16-year-old and teaching them skills that help them develop and help them learn leadership and get into the real world and give back.
Okay.
And so with the charity, we raised money and sort of I could see exactly where the funds were going. So we, you know, training around with the monies I raised is about more than 100 kids in Kenya. They're going to benefit from a curriculum. They'll give them jobs in the private sector. So it was a way to give back home, in a way, giving back to place where I actually gained from.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting back to Kenya in this manner was very, very enriching. So every step I took during the run was to give back for a cause.
Yeah.
And that was truly inspirational for myself and the people that donated as well.
Yeah, we often forget not everyone has the same opportunities as ourselves. James, what about you? What are the charities that you run for?
Yeah, so I've been running for about 20 years now for an international charity called FAB, which is for disabled children, which comes from the fact my own mother was disabled when she was 8 years old. So I've kind of grown up with disability as part of my family for my whole life. And in the last couple of years here in Singapore, I've been running for AWA. They're looking to build a second school for children with autism.
Okay.
They need around $1 million, so Deloitte has been trying to help them raise that. So we've all my Singapore fundraising for the last 2 years now has been for AWA for that.
We're sharing a lot of personal stories, reasons you run marathons for charities. You're hearing the thoughts of James Walton, Southeast Asia Sports Business Group Leader for Deloitte, as well as Muni Anandji, Head of Global Subsidiaries Group Asia Pacific Banking at Citi. Gentlemen, for someone who is keen to follow in your footsteps to raise money, I suppose the hardest part comes with, you know, how you can attract and monetize these sponsorship or even persuade your friends or their friends to chip in. Do you have any thoughts on this, James?
I think you heard from both of us just now that the causes that we are supporting are causes that are very personal to us, that we're passionate about. And that always helps. If you go to someone and say, I'm raising money for this charity, and they say, why? You know, you've got to be able to answer that question. And to say a little bit more than I'm just raising money for this, you know, there has to be a hook. There has to be a cause, something that you're passionate about. And then you've got to look at what the feeling is and what the opportunity is that you will give to the sponsors as well. Especially the easiest way to raise money quickly is to get corporate sponsors,
of course,
and some support. And they want to be part of that journey. They want to share in that story. They want to be part of your social media. They want you to come talk to their staff. They want you to get them involved with the charity as well. So the more you can, rather than just asking for money, find ways to make people feel that they are part of the experience and give them some value back for it, the easier it will be.
Munir, running for the children in Kenya, I'd like to get your insight. How much emotion does that bring out each time you bring this up to a potential sponsor?
Yeah, so, you know, I think, just to echo what James said as well, I think it's, if you've got a passion for why you're raising money and you're sure it's going to a cause that's very legit, it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of charities out there that raise money, but you never know the source and you never know the money's going to. So when I'm out there talking about my background, my experiences, and talking why I'm giving back, and the people that who actually raised, you know, gave me money were people that were close to me in many ways. They know my journey in life. Okay. There was an emotional connection. And so they understood the fact that I was giving back to a country I lived in, I grew up in. And they understand the challenges in education in these markets. Mm-hmm. So it was not just giving for the sake of giving. It's giving because they knew me and there's a link back. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is around attribution. When people give money, it's like, okay, I've given the money, what happens next, you know? They like to know what's going on with the money. They like to know their money's, it could be anything from $1 to $100 to more. You know, is it really going to a good cause? And I think I was a central link to make sure that there was actually a circle created so they knew where the funds were going. So over the raising of monies, I made sure I kept all the donors very well informed in terms of the raising, who's raised, where it's going. And the company I worked with, Educate, kept giving me news feeds around how they were spending the money. Until today, I raised the money back in February. Till today, I'm constantly kept in touch with the donors as well as the schools to make sure that the money is being put to good use. I'm down in Kenya in a few months' time. I'm going to see the school that the money went to.
Okay.
I'm going to teach at a classroom.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it next year again. So it's a continuous journey. So, you know, it's important because charities are about making sure the cause is met. The other thing I think around that is a lot to do with connection. You know, I turned 50 this year, and it's important that when you get in some points in life, it's more about the passion that you want to connect and the emotional connection.
Yeah.
And for me, this is going to be something that I'll continue doing. So donors have to feel the fact it's not a one shot. Like James said, it's something that you're going to constantly kind of connect with. So I think that's the evolution.
There's a lot of credibility and accountability involved here.
Correct.
50 years old, running 250 kilometers. That does a lot for my confidence. Gentlemen, we are here to talk about the lessons that come, the business lessons that come with running a marathon. And we're going to get to this list that the both of you have. We've talked about running a marathon, raising funds for it. It's good if it's something relatable. It's good if there's an emotional connection to it. It's also important to have credibility and accountability. But both of you have a list of business lessons from marathon running that can be applied in the corporate world. So let's go through this list. Each of you's got a list of about 6 to 8. Munia, let's start off with your list. First on the list is your mind drives it all. Tell us more.
Yeah, I think the mind has boundless limits. So when I was running, you know, you do a marathon every day, basically.
Yeah.
At some point in time, your body's like, you know, God, I can't take this anymore, you know. And you know you're broken. You got blisters. You're hurting. And this was self-supported. So you're carrying 10 kilograms of weight on your back as well.
Yeah.
So it's painful. And you're up elevation, down elevation, weather, terrains, etc. And then you get to a point where you're like, do I give up? Do I carry on?
Okay.
I think that point is a critical point. A lot of people turn back and say, look, I can't do it. I'm backing up.
Okay.
If you get past that point, and this is where the mind drives it and says, look, you can do it. Your mind takes over emotion. Your mind takes over the pain. And you get to a different space altogether. And that space you enter is a whole new universe. And you realize your body can just keep going and going and going. And I think at that point in time, you know, if you can bring this back to the workspace, mm-hmm. it's critical. Mm-hmm. We have tough lives, you know, all of us work very hard, etc. And we always think, oh God, do I like what I'm doing? Don't I like what I'm doing? I have challenges, you know, goals. But you get to a point where your mind takes the control of things and you realize what the end result is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving, your perception, your preservation is very, very different. So, you know, I would encourage the fact that if one can get to that state, it's a very powerful state.
Sure.
And I think pain becomes just part of it. And I think it's something that I think I've learned through the hard running. You know, it's around then controlling the whole space.
Mm.
So things like meditation, things like, you know, breathing, things like self-control, actually perpetuate and actually make the mind a lot more stronger in achieving that.
Okay, I'm going to run through the rest of your list very quickly. Pain and difficulty have its other side. Trust yourself. It's you, only you, that can make the difference. Keep calm, be a team player. Listen and learn. Everyone has something to give. Self-reflection helps self-improvement. When you're feeling down, think of family. Every time you encounter a flat terrain, a slight incline, or better yet, a downhill, run, and lastly, savor the moment. Which one of your lists really stands out for you personally?
That's just self-reflection.
Yeah.
It's powerful. What we do a lot of times, you always do a pre-mortem.
Okay.
So we go in there, we plan, we know what we're going to do, etc. And then we do it. But very rarely do we actually go back there and say, what could I have done differently? What could I have changed if I would have changed it? And that could be anything. It could be from planning nutrition. It could be from planning the terrain. It could be planning gear. It could be planning what you do when. And I think the more you self-reflect and you put yourself back in that moment and you think, what would I have done differently, it makes you a lot more stronger.
Okay.
In the workplace, it's exactly the same thing. The role I do in Asia, you know, I sort of deal a lot with, you know, customers. I deal with situations. Sometimes we do really well. Sometimes I learn from things I didn't do well.
Sure.
But going back and saying, what would I have done differently, and putting yourself in that space and going back into really the time machine and reflecting on it and then improving from it allows you to raise the bar. And I think the more you do that, you get to a point where you get better and better at what you do. So to me, that's a very big, powerful outcome in terms of bringing lessons from the outdoors to the business life.
Actually, it's more than business. It's you yourself as a family member, as a father, as a leader in your household as well, right? James, let's go on to your list. Okay, you've got a list of six. First, you must find your motivation and set a goal. Sometimes you just have to get out there, even if it's not pleasant. There's no one-size-fits-all, and success means different things to different people. Reaching and sustaining your peak performance is about balance. Stop and celebrate your success. And lastly, but always look for your next challenge. I think you missed out the Spurs motto as well. To dare is to do. But James, how did you come up with your list? And secondly, which one of these list of six stands out for you personally?
You know, when you're out there training for marathons and ultra-marathons, you get a lot of time to think.
While you're running. Okay.
So you quite often find yourself honestly wondering, what am I doing out there? And to the point number two there about sometimes you've got to get out there even when it's not pleasant. You look at a morning like today and you're training for something, or you come home from work, you've been at work longer than you think you might have done. It's 9 o'clock at night and you just know you've got to log some miles, get some training in. Those kind of moments really do give you a pause for reflection and an opportunity to decide how you want to take things forward. But for me, I think the one around sustaining your peak performance is about balance has been the big lesson for me over the last couple of years. Because when you're young, and this applies in business again sometimes, when you're young, when you're fresh at something, you can run and run and run. You can work for hours, you can do all the things, the 24 hours in a day, you can manage it all. But there comes a point where you have to get the balance right, where you have to work out how you're going to balance, whether it's your family life and your work life, whether it's balancing your interests like running and your business side. But also in running, often my physio would tell you that the most important days are not the days that you run, it's the days that you rest.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that you build that recovery time in, that if you run 7 days a week at a high intensity, eventually you'll fall off the cliff, basically. Yeah. So I think that idea of balance in your nutrition, balance in your rest and recovery, balance in how much you run, balance in how you balance running against the other things in your life has really been, as you get older and as you get a little bit wiser, has been the key learning point for me.
Yeah, there's no point exercising that hard if you're not sleeping. You know, you can't recover.
Sleep is another critical part, yeah.
Would you say you're very get out of your comfort zone type of person, yet at the same time somehow come back to finding balance?
I think so. I think, again, one of my other points here was about success means different things to different people. And to some people, it's just about running another race, at which point your comfort zone can be okay. But if you're really trying to improve my time or to do a 250K ultra marathon and when you're used to running marathons, then that really is getting out of your out of your comfort zone. And that's why I believe in always having another goal. What's your next target? Because again, when you finish your marathon this Sunday and you wake up on Monday morning, what comes next? It can become very easy to say, oh, I did that. And move on. And a lot of runners suffer from a lack of motivation immediately after an event, immediately after a run. And that's where the charity element can come in as well. Because if you know that you're still raising that money, that you still have supporters, sponsors that care, it can just give you that little extra motivation.
Business lessons, and in fact, deeper than that, life lessons from Muni and Angie, head of Global Subsidiaries Group Asia Pacific Banking at Citi, as well as James Walton, Southeast Asia Sports Business Group Leader at Deloitte. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time, and I wish you a great weekend ahead.
Great, thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.